Hello, ladies and gentlemen, once again, welcome to Bulbacast. This time, it's Season 2, Episode 14. I am Tootsie Skull, of course, and tonight we are going to have a very thoughtful and full cast indeed, and we're going to begin by introducing everybody. First, we're going to have Sathoskin from Bulba Garden.
Man, I had to battle a whole bunch of walruses to get here, but hi, guys.
Hello there. We have Archaic, your friendly Bulba Garden webmaster.
Hey, everyone, how's it going?
From Brinstar Depths, your friends and mine, Dratini927.
Hey, guys.
Also from Bulba Garden Chats, we have Misty.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, so charged tonight. I like that. We have... we have Kasumi, also from Bulba Garden.
Hello.
Yes. And finally, the webmaster with the most, the owner of Falcon Palace Network.
Hey, everyone.
Your friend and mine, PPN Steve. We're going to have a great cast for you tonight, and we're going to get things started by getting our first call in. And that first call in is going to be Blondosaur, and let's get
Blunt
right now.
I'm on the air.
So, hey.
Hello, Blunt.
To...
Good day.
How are you, good sir?
Good day.
Welcome back.
Not bad, not bad.
And what's your question?
Well, I think I'll start off with a bit of a strange question. You remember how Satoshi Tajiri, when he first came up with the concept of the game, you imagine them, like, walking back and forth between it on a link cable?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, now that we're on the DS, the thing's online, and how would you imagine Pokemon getting back and forth between DSs?
Well, if we remember that he originally considered them to be, like, insects than that, why not just have them as flying insects that travel between them that way?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Awesome. It's probably more high-tech.
Yeah, that is
or,
a definitely feasible
you,
thing, yeah.
Or if you want to have a, if you want to have the really bad pun of the internet and everything, imagine them as spiders spinning webs.
Actually, this may sound weird, but here's how I picture them traveling. You guys ever heard of Ryusei no Rockman or Mega Man Star Force? How, like, the world's connected through, like, a huge radio wave road?
Do you mean Battle Network? Like that thing?
Well, sort of. Actually, Star Force is like the sequel to Battle Network.
Okay.
Basically, I imagine Pokemon traveling between DSs on, like, a big invisible Wi-Fi radio wave road.
The Pokemon will, in effect, be transmitted, will be pretty much put in molecule form through a computer, and they'll have to travel through the computer over to the other side.
It's more like bits of data. You can't really say molecules for digitized data.
Well, molecular data.
Just a bunch of ones
and
that's
odds, called bits. So they're basically transformed.
But you can't completely digitize a body or anything of that sort.
But you have movie to because or if you anime can't. Series, you can do whatever you want. The laws of physics don't apply.
Exactly.
No, you do have a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just compressed into data and transmitted just like any other packet.
How many of you guys already have your teams planned for Diamond and Pearl?
Nope.
I sort of have a team plan, but it's kind of in the works.
One second. To answer people's emails have been asking me, what's your DP Franco? I do not play the games.
So email CSS Killer and tell him to play the games. And you heard it first here on Bulbacast.
Okay, no, I've actually already got the game, so it's a bit different for me, but I hadn't actually planned what Pokemon I'd use when I got the games. I just pretty much, I wanted a Rapidash, but that's only because I knew it would be the only decent fire type I'd get for most of the game. And other than that, and the starter Pokemon, I didn't know what I'd take. I wanted to use routes, but I never found one, so I didn't use it. And eventually I just found it was easier to pick up a Geodude, Abra, and a Machop, evolve them, trade them back, and just use those. They seemed to be the most powerful things I could get at that stage of the game, and it let me go through pretty easily.
Yeah.
But just there was no actual pre-planning.
Go as you go.
Just kind of happened.
Oh, I see. Well, on that same subject, how many people getting the game do you think have already planned teams?
I think most who'd be getting it in English have planned teams simply because they've had the opportunity to look at walkthroughs or look at the decks and find out everything. When we all got our Japanese versions, well, I mean, when I got mine, I'm not sure if anyone else here has one, we knew nothing. We had no guides. We were writing them. We had no dexes. We were writing those. And it was pretty much just a matter of discovery. We had no idea what would be available.
Before I go, I just want to do a couple more impressions for you. First off, and they're both water types, by the way. First off, I want to do my corfish for you.
Corfish! 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 Corfish!
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is the first time I ever tried to impersonate a Japanese Pokemon. This is the first time I've ever tried to do this, so bear with me if this sounds a little rough.
Pacha! Pacha, Pacha!
Well,
all right, I have no idea.
Thank you much for the call.
No.
It's not quite so high pitched.
It has to be at a higher pitch, and I don't think that voice register can go that high. So,
I told you it was my first time trying it.
Good attempt.
Okay. <All right. laughs>
Good attempt.
I'll give you the name for reference.
Pacha, Pacha.
I can't even go that high.
Alright.
Well, I'll work on a better impression for the next week.
Alright.
Anyway, Kiro-chan's waiting to get on, so I'm out of here.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
See you.
Hey, man.
Yeah, take care. Bye bye.
What a great call.
So, yep, indeed so. Now we are going to go over and have the question of the week and hear a Sato-kun with that.
Hey, this is Sato-kun, and welcome to the Bulbacast question of the week. For this week, the question was, the features for Diamond and Pearl have already been announced, but the question for you listeners is, would there have been anything that you would have wished to have been a feature that didn't end up being a feature? So, let's go and see what our readers have to say. Genuichi says that he'd like to see a voice recognition feature alongside the select register feature. What he means is, you know, when you use the select button to register an item, he was kind of hoping they'd do the same for the voice feature. They do have Blabber for that, but it'd be used more often. Just say go, and poof, you're on your bike in an instant. Yeah, that's his choice for a feature. Not much, but what was on his mind. And, let's see, here we have Steel on Ice Rule thinks that it would be awesome if there's a feature that could be turned on and off which would allow you to command your Pokemon. You could speak into the mic and say, Glalie, use Ice Beam, or Steelix, use Iron Tail, and it would attack based on that. He's not sure if it'd be possible, but it'd be cool nonetheless. I kind of have to agree. Habaneku has thought that it would be kind of interesting for a radio that served as the jukebox, letting you change the music that played along the route. That would kind of be interesting. Alright, Die1313 thinks that it'd be interesting to have a custom map creator so that you could make your own terrains and possibly have them a way to upload them to someone else's game or some way to use them as a server on Wi-Fi. Kind of reminds me of Deathmatch and making your own Deathmatch levels and such for 3D shoot-em-up games. Kind of an interesting idea. Ooh, Captain Post says that he thinks that creating your own character would be the next step for Pokemon. Pokemon games are amazing, but that's one thing that's been missing. We get the ability to choose from multiple different looking avatars instead of just one male and one female. He feels it'd be more like role-playing the character. Maybe they could implement different outfits and hairstyles along with multiple body designs. Even have an avatar that looks over 18 years old. Gah! That might be a good idea, but my god, I wouldn't want my ugly mug in the game. Pikachu Trainer really would like to have more focus on the competitive aspects, such as with Emerald. And, yeah, he thinks that Wi-Fi is much better than any Battle Frontier, but Battle Frontier made Emerald one of those games whose replay value was just awesome. Sure, you can go and battle with your friends, get on NetBattle, and even Wi-Fi for DP, but the Battle Frontier generated the hype and replay value that deserved to be in DP, with the newer feature that, possibly would be considered for the third game of the series, Opal or whatever the hell they're going to call it. Plus, Sora decided that he thinks the Diamond and Pearl is almost perfect, but if he had to add anything, this is what he'd add. He says, "I'm sure that a few people might disagree with me on this one, but I think it'd be cool if the Poketech had a phone like the Pokegear in Gold, Silver, and Crystal, and the Pokenav in Emerald. True, a lot of the calls were annoying, but hey, they could change that. Instead of a bunch of inane calls about what Pokemon they did or didn't catch or what battles they did or didn't win, they could call you about more important stuff like whether go on certain routes or when certain events were happening. You could even have the option to call them and ask them to meet you somewhere to battle, trade, or help you out with certain tasks. And of course, when they call you, you have the option of whether or not to answer." Kind of reminds me a little bit of Earthbound myself, when you got the phone, and whenever there's something you really needed to know, you know, your dad would call you, or someone would call you with an invention or something. Yeah, could be a good one. Now, we have a real simple question for next week. The question would be, what's your DP starter going to be? Any clue? So let us know. Give us a quick reason as to why. And just keep it brief and keep it fun to read. Also, possibly starting in the future, if the question of the week continues to be as popular as it is, I might have to start selecting like two or three of the best of the week and read those and just, keep it brief because, some people have been saying that the question of the week is getting a little boring. So, either, we need to find a way to spice it up or, shorten it, but just whatever. Y'all enjoy. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Thank you, Sathaskun, for that wonderful insight. And now we're going to go to our next call-in. Next call-in tonight is going to be Julie, so let's get her in right now.
Julie. Hi.
Hello. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Episode number 14 of season 2. First time caller. Nice to have you on.
Long time listener. I had a question, and then I thought it was lame, so I actually thought of a better one for you guys. I've noticed on Bulbagarden and just on the forums and stuff, there's been a huge amount of hype, obviously, for Diamond and Pearl. I was wondering if any of you were around for the releases of Ruby or Sapphire, or even as far back as Gold and Silver, as far as releases go and kind of hype on the internet, and just kind of what were those like in comparison to the Diamond and Pearl anticipation,
more.
Where there as many people was
Especially
there,
on Gold and Silver.
You know, just as much.
There were probably
good question.
More. I think and both PCN and me were around for the Gold and Silver releases. I wouldn't have actually been a webmaster back then, but I know PPN was.
It was very huge.
Yeah, it was huge. It was.
I would
was
say
massive.
At least double what we have for the Diamond and Pearl.
It was very interesting.
And let me tell you why. And this is my opinion, not the opinion of Bulbacast in general, but just me. Nintendo promoted it. They advertised it well in advance, put out a lot of information. They generated hype.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the trading card game was pretty popular at the time.
Well, it still is, but...
Yeah, there was a lot. It was in the news more. It was in the mainstream media more than it is now. It was, big still. So they had that big wave to ride, which really helped. But the actual promotions, commercials on TV, ads, print ads... That kind of thing was everywhere. Big, huge displays in game stores, et cetera, et cetera. You're not seeing that for Diamond and Pearl.
Also, actually, with the old games, back then we did not have a significant portion of the English-speaking Pokemon fan base who could actually browse the Japanese sites, understand what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. But we didn't get that until maybe the Ruby Sapphire release, maybe a little after. By the time Gold, Silver, Crystal was released, and that was a worldwide release, it was released actually on the same day everywhere outside of Japan, or practically the same day, you had a lot more hype about it simply because everyone was playing that at the same time and discovering it for the first time. The only info we'd had up to that point
was
pretty much the press releases and stuff from magazines.
Right.
Obviously, the internet has become
much
larger and much more accessible to much more accessible to people over the last few years. I mean, in the gold era, you basically had just dial-up and nothing really else. If you're lucky, a few people had DSL and a few people had cable, but it was not consumer, could not be afforded by the average Joe.
I don't know. The gold-silver era was when I started on the internet. You still had some big sites going on. Pojo, Pokemasters, old Polvagarden.
There was a lot of activity.
You know?
It was. A lot of
I still
stuff,
think there's a lot there.
But
there was
the
a lot
official
of activity,
hype was way better back then than it is now.
Yeah.
The overall fan base, people interested in seeing this stuff, was larger.
Indeed.
I think now the official hype has been replaced by the user hype. They don't hype it as much because they know we will hype it for them for free.
Julie, any other questions or comments?
Just a really quick one, I guess, my original question, because I'm still curious. I guess for anybody that's played the Japanese version so far, what can you tell us about the Shino Underground? I know it's kind of a big deal. That's how you do your secret bases, but I guess I was just kind of curious about how that's going to work with Wi-Fi and stuff.
Okay. Probably would be the best to answer. He's played the game.
Okay. I guess I'm the only one here at the moment who's actually played that. To be honest, I haven't really used the thing all that much, so I can only really be brief. Basically, what you do in there, if you're just playing on your own, is pretty much just mining up some special, like, gemstones and that, and you use them to buy a few special things from some certain guys, like TMs and so forth. You can also set up your secret base in there, set up all your furniture and whatnot, and if you connect via Wi-Fi to another person, you can kind of do this capture the flag sort of thing between your base and their base. There's probably something more there, but I haven't really experimented with that part of the game too much, so there's not much I can really tell you besides that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's
fine. That about covers most of it, though.
Sounds good.
Cool, thank you.
All right.
Any more?
No, that's it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie, for calling.
Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh.
Glad we got.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Julie.
That was another great call.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Great call. Indeed so. And while we spin her off, let's spin this commercial messages to you. So don't go away.
All right. I would like to apologize to anybody once again. We're going to sing. It's my fault, it's Archaic's fault. Blame us, but we're doing this again because not a single person said anything bad to us. And if they did, we ignored them. So, this week we are going to ruin yet another good song, and it's going to be me and Dratini. You ready to go, Dratini?
I'm ready when you are.
Good deal. Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles. Here's in a Pokeball, Squirtle Power. They're the world's best firefighting team.
We're really hip.
They're heroes in a Pokeball and their scheme.
Hey, what a rip.
When the evil spammer attacks, these Squirtle boys don't cut 'em no slack. Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles. Archaic taught them to be ninja teens.
He's a radical cat.
Misty leads, Sato does machines.
That's a fact, Matt.
PPN is cool, but food?
I'm not a steak.
TSS isn't a party, dude.
No way!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles. Here's in our Pokeball, Squirtle Power. I can't believe we just did that, Matt.
And now we're going to go to our next call-in. That is going to be Kabuka-chan, so let's skim him right now. Welcome, Kuruka-chan, to Bulbacast episode number 14 of season 2.
All right. First of all, I'm going to start griping about the first gym leaders in most of the generations. Aside from Generation 2, all the generations have had the rock type for the first gym leader. And to be quite honest, that pisses me off because there was just the three most common types you have early game, normal, flying, and poison. And, like, why can't they just make a challenging gym without having to rely on resistances?
But rocks are great.
I think it's to try to get you actually using your startup, pretty much, and to make it so you have a more challenging game if you pick the guy who has a disadvantage against that starter. So for the first game, well, obviously, grass was the most effective, so for the second game, they went, right, let's turn that around and make it so grass is the worst one to pick first up.
That's why I always pick water, because water is cool. My Blastoise could own your Charizard. You always.
Dratini still owns them all.
Yeah,
right.
Dratini's a little tadpole in the water.
I think Drat needs the bading right now.
Dratini, your Pokemon was so lame, its episode got banned.
No. Come back to that. It means it's just that badass.
Do you have another question?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
If it was that badass, why does it need guns to make a good episode?
Why?
Oh.
I like Mudkip.
Okay. Since that didn't really go that far, I'm going to rant about something else now. Is all the people who hate on poison types just because they're weak to ground. It's like, if you're going to hate on something for being weak to ground, hate on rock for it having 5 weaknesses. Poison only has 2, and it's also immune to toxic, so there.
The problem with being weak to ground is that every single Wi-Fi team or previously Link Battle team would have Earthquake in there. And they probably have it more than once. So taking poison types that can't avoid the Earthquake, pretty much asking to lose.
Though if you note, too, the most popular poison types, Gengar and Weezing, have absolutely no, are completely immune to Earthquakes, so they're awesome.
They have no weak?
Exactly. Yeah, they have no weak. Yeah. Like Carmine Suicune.
Carmine Suicune is going to have weakness in Diamond and Pearl because of the whole, you know, Leaf Blade thing.
Hmm. You know, if you also think about the evolution of Gligar, Gliscor, it's poison flying, so that's a good advantage for
No, it's not. It's ground flying, like Gligar.
Oh, never mind. My bad. For some reason, I thought it was poison.
Dumb.
Yeah, but it's like, if you're going to hate on something for being weak to ground, don't just hate on the poison types. It's like, I don't see anyone hating on Metagross and it's weak to ground. Yes. Okay, I'm going to move to my next thing now. This one, you know, it's a bit more open-ended. I noticed, like, way back in the old games, and, like, in the old games, like, your final fight in the whole game against your rival, and then, of course, like, all the noobs who are just starting the game, they think that just because they have a team with all the different elemental types on it means that it's well-balanced, but it's not. I mean, it's like that one day where Bluntman had that team he made with like all the elementals, and Sergo just ripped the fuck out of it.
There's just Pokemon is amazingly complex. People often underestimate just how deep you can go with the strategy. So it's like you have to take into a lot of considerations to make a truly competitive team. Some people are just it's just not fun for them, I guess.
I just play it to enjoy it. I don't play it to analyze it myself.
If it's good enough to beat the next trainer in line, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm not looking for competitive battle. I'm looking to play through the game on my own because I've never had anyone to compete with, period.
You know,
exactly. You know, you grow to
if you do it right,
team.
you don't have a pretty good chance
got to analyze this team or that
if you have a well built
and
I mean,
you
train,
know this
well,
that
even
just
though it
takes
might not
fun out of it for me
be
personally.
The most popular
same here
Pokemon in a competitive battle environment.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't trade anything for my Farfetch'd Dugtrio and
Blastoise. You like them because you spent the time
I
with
love
them,
this
right?
Guys. You know, I didn't sit there and look at their stats. I picked them and worked with them, and they really... Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
they made me happy, and I made them happy. That's to me, what playing a game is about, is, enjoying.
Yeah, it's like, you know, It's like whenever I'm making a team, it's just like I usually use completely the opposite of whatever all those noobs use. It's like all the popular types I don't use mostly. I use all the unorthodox types that there's not many Pokemon of, like fighting ghosts and things like that. And it's like my best friend, he doesn't understand how I can
kill him with one Pokemon. What do you know?
He's, and of course, my best friend is also the one who's trying to make a team of all grass types.
Well, yeah, I used to make it teams of all bugs.
Well, that's a bit different, though.
It's just a mono challenge.
I mean, bug is like an average type. Yeah. It's got average balance of weaknesses and resistances.
Right.
And it's always grass is kind of like,
red,
you know,
blue, yellow.
Grass is one of those things that you don't need if you have electric and water on your team.
Right. You get grass near anything with fire, you're screwed.
Fire, flying, you know, things like that that are common. I mean, all those bloody things that have aerial A's.
Yeah.
But really, you know, what I think, you know, is Pokemon's for everyone. You know, it's great for someone who wants something to analyze, but it's also, you know, great for the person who just
and you know
wants
really
fun. And I think both
what's really cool
sides
is
are very respectful.
That will sometimes
and,
cross.
You know, I'm just glad there's a lot of different types of people
to.
Who do enjoy the game.
A fun player will actually build a really good competitive team, go to a competition somewhere, and do well. Without really doing the smug on thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It happens.
Right.
Yeah, like how the
that's,
whole, you know, Pikachu winning against Rhydon thing,
people
and
cheat.
Pikachu somehow having more defense than Dragonite thing.
But the they anime do does not equal the game.
Exactly.
True.
Because remember, the anime physics and the game physics are two different things.
Yeah, you know, the anime loosely follows the game, but
just to this, just for
that's
this consideration, I think we've blown it up a few times before, but you know how a Pokemon in the anime has like 8 or 9 moves. You can't have that in the game. It's like super, super. And also the physics.
Well, Tex says all the Pokemon in the game have ADD.
Here's another thing. During in the anime, you don't see people constantly giving heals or herbs or whatnot.
Well,
to
how come?
That's because the Pokemon like hardly ever get knocked out. It's like they can
like,
take like
you know
so
use
many
use agility
hits
and then tackle.
And they're still going. It's like all the hits are gone and that heals them.
Or maybe they're like the Pikachu on steroids.
Yeah, just stuff like that.
You get the diagonal clapping.
Yeah, one more thing I'd like to mention before I go is that Hikari whooped the ash out of Ash, because if you compare the first episode she appeared in to the very, very first episode where Ash first became the trainer, if you compare their skills, it's like Hikari just looks
she's
so much
she's also probably
awesome
had
in her first
exposure,
episode.
Like, from media or whatever.
Well,
so being
she's
like ready for it.
Saved
her
to be a
coordinator, so she's supposed to...
Whereas Ash, all he had was, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah. Her mother's a famous coordinator.
Yeah.
So Hikari whips Ash.
Exactly.
I could see another ship coming up.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kuka-chan, for calling. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, you
bye
take
bye
care.
Thanks for your call.
Good
bye
night. Another great
need another ship. Before we close out, I do want to mention one thing quickly. I'm pretty sure I didn't mention this last week. So, it's come out recently that there will be a tournament season of some kind set up for the Pokemon trading figure game. That'll start this year at about the same time that the next season for the Pokemon TCG starts. So I guess that's like September, October. We don't have much more information on that at the moment, just that that will be the case. Also have heard that the rules for that trading figure game are actually going to be altered. It's not going to be the same as what we've all seen in those rule books that we've bought with the game so far. So basically consider what's in them at the moment to be like introductory starter rules that will not be what you are playing in the tournaments. But what changes they're going to make, I have no idea.
All right.
So they're not telling us.
Thanks, Arkek. One thing I would like to add, though, is I've talked about this earlier in the cast, but the 10th of the Diamond and Pearl release on April 22nd, there will be an event held downtown Manhattan. You know where that is. If you don't know where that is, that's why God invented Google Maps. But in any case, this is the Nintendo World Store. It's located in Rockefeller Center, right in the heart of New York City. And I'm actually going to do some reporting down here for VPN and Pocket Monsters, as well as Bulb Garden. I'm going to share my resource with them. I've heard that they're going to give some products away, as well as some other prizes.
Left or right?
If you're lucky, you can get TSS to sign them.
Ooh. Get my autograph.
Oh, my God.
Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, that April 22nd, it's going to be the Nintendo World event, and either go there or do something, and I will be reporting. For BMG, PPN, and PM. So please try to go to the event. If you cannot make it, and I know many of you people will probably not want to travel 3,000 miles just to go get a damn game, because you probably have it already in EB Games. But if you want to be in the magic from the Nintendo World Store, it is in the heart of New York City, Rockefeller Center. And we're going to start closing things down. But before we do that, remember to go to the places that we want you to go to, as always, irc.pocketmonsters.net. The channels you want to go to are Pound Bubble Garden, Pound Pocket Monsters, and Pound Bubble Cast. 1 hour before the cast begins, wherever it might be, please go to pocketmonsters.net, bubblegarden.net, and pokemonpalace.net.
Realize this week's cast has been a little short, everyone, so sorry about that. We do need a lot more call-ins. Obviously, we're going to have a lot to talk about in the coming weeks with the Diamond Pearl release, hopefully. So please send in your questions if you can't actually come onto the cast, but we'd love to have you on if we can. You know where to go by now, I hope. If you don't, post on the forums. We can tell you where to go to get all the software you need to actually get on. It's all free, so don't worry about that. And, I won't be here next week, because I'm at the Supernova Convention here in Brisbane. If any of you are turning up to that, I'll be there both Saturday and Sunday doing demonstrations of the Pokemon trading figure game and possibly the trading card game as well. So if you're here in Brisbane, Australia, please go along to that. Well, I guess, everyone else will be here next week, so if you can't get along to that, please call in.
And that'll just about do it for Bulbacast episode number 14 of season 2. It only remains me to thank Archaic, Satoshi-kun, Dutini927, Misty, Kasumi, PPN Steve, and our call-ins, Bluntasaur, Julie, and Kotoku-chan. And I am TSS Killer, reminding you to keep your Pidgey safely flying and keep your monsters in your pocket. Good night, everybody.
Bye!
Janemina, mata sabashine.